This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yo, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
Welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We are broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios. And this week, we're talking beer cocktails. I'm Tim Dennis, and with me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Brian Hewitt.
Hey, Tim, that's right. Beer cocktail, something we love, but something you don't see all that often out in the wild. And we may mix in a few beers inspired by cocktails.
Or so, just cocktails, yeah, and aren't necessarily beer cocktails.
Or just cocktails, because we actually have a full bar beyond just beers.
Yes,
we got a
yes.
beer fridge. We got a bunch of stuff. We've got mezcal sitting on the table. It may get a little crazy. So this is going to be interesting, Tim.
It'll be fun, Brian. And I know you've got a whole book over there, Beer Cocktails.
I do, because
they're fun. Do you do beer cocktails at home much?
It's considered a beer cocktail, but the thing I do the most often is the Boilermaker.
The Boilermaker. I think we're going to talk about Boilermakers a little more
and
today.
This book has opinions on them, but it's a beer cocktail book that includes Boilermakers. So I know they're legitimately a beer cocktail, even though the way I drink them might not be the way most people think of drinking them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to learning more about your adventures there. Because, Brian, I'm pretty simple on my beer cocktails. I haven't explored it a lot. I have at my personal liquor collection at home. I'm very much a guy one of each is fine with me. I've got a gin. I've got a bourbon. I've got a scotch. You know, I've got a rum. And I know others that like a huge variety, kind of like I do with beer. I have hundreds of beers at home, but when it comes to my liquor cabinet, I just need a go-to there, and I'm totally fine with that. So you're a little different on that front, though, right?
Yeah, my liquor selection at home is a little bit like the liquor selection here in the studio, where there's a lot of random open bottles,
right?
And I see something interesting, and I'm like, well, I gotta try that. So I'm a fool, and I will go out and buy it instead of going. So it makes more sense to me somehow, and the logic isn't really there, to buy the bottle, because I don't want to pay for an overpriced shot in a bar. So I'm like, well, that's a better buy. And then, you know, you wind up with a lot of bottles that are maybe 7/8
full. 7/8.
Yeah, 7/8.
Do you do research on the things you buy, or are you an impulse buyer?
Let's be serious. Yes, but a lot of impulse. I'll see a thing and I'm like, well, that sounds great. Like I was... Yeah. The cocktail we tried before the show, that was an impulse buy. I was in the right place. I had been talking about a cocktail, and both of the ingredients were right there and well affordable. So I'm like, why not get them?
And so that's something that you called an M&M, not a beer cocktail. We'll throw this out.
Yeah, this is not a beer cocktail.
So you called it an M&M.
M&M.
And what was it we had in that one, Brian?
It's Amaro Montenegro and San Miguel Vida Mezcal. So it's basically
Mezcal and Amaro.
It's 50-50. And we tried that, and it's a really interesting drink because it's very unexpected. I bought it just on a recommendation from No Mike Nate. And I'm like, I've got to try this. And like, I'm expecting not to like it. I like it. What do you think of it, Tim?
You know what? I'm going to say something real quick. No Mike Nate is out sick this week, and it's total chaos here in the studio.
Oh, totally.
We have no idea what we're doing. We're pressing buttons. We're trying to make things work, and we're going to do our best, Brian.
Yeah.
I put it all on you, so there's no pressure on me with this.
Okay.
But the cocktail, it was tasty, Brian. And and so you made one for me and had me taste it before I knew what was in it.
Correct.
And I guess that there was scotch there. You know, the two together, they presented as kind of a scotch.
A peated scotch?
Like a peated scotch there.
Lafroig or something like that?
Not Lafroig. Lafroig is peated, but it's nasty.
An Ardbeg maybe?
Just that smoky peatiness to it there.
Okay.
I got a strong like campfire note. You know, the sweetness from the Amaro in there, the herbal qualities. I found out that I don't like intense herbal liqueurs, like something that presents like a lot of bitterness, or if the licorice note is too, or anise, I guess, is too strong. Yeah. I don't dig it. But that Amaro Montenegro, the flavors are there, but they're not in your face. And I think the two together made it very simple, nice little cocktail. Would go good with a cigar.
Yeah, and I hadn't noticed this because I tried this earlier, as I said. It didn't occur to me, but it struck me as very much a strongly peated scotch flavor that I got out of it. Like a, was it Ardbeg, Corryvreckan? Like it has this, you'd get out of a peated scotch. Interesting thing about the Amaro Montenegro, rose petals are like, it tastes like a rose water, sweet roses or something that. So that's, I'd never had it before like this week, and I'm in love with that thing. And the mezcal is strikingly different had by itself.
It is. It's very intense by itself. It sure is. When it comes to cocktails, Brian, do you have a go-to? Is there something like if you're feeling cocktail-y, what do you go for?
If I'm not going for a Boilermaker, which I frequently am, that's anything from your tip, a beer and a shot of bourbon, or an IPA with a shot of rum. It's right now it's a Negroni.
The Negroni.
Yeah, that's right. I'm very much in love with those. Okay. And not the Snapchat, TikTok, whatever one with Prosecco. That stuff can just take off. I want the regular one, but sometimes I will top off the regular one with gin, but I'll put a little seltzer on top of it because that makes it, it does add a little niceness to it that I like a lot.
I'm not a fan of those. There's too much bitterness in there for me, so it just doesn't do it for me. But, you know, I did take one, and I think I cut it with some Fever Tree tonic water.
Yeah.
And it became a lot more palatable.
It's something about the tonic or the seltzer, the added carbonation really helps it out. And I still want the gin in there, but that really makes it easily more palatable. But I like a good bitter West Coast IPA, so the Negroni is right up my alley.
See, if I'm out, Brian, if I'm going for bourbon drink, Manhattan, if I want dark liquor, something a little more intense, but really a gin and tonic is kind of a go-to for me. You know, most places I go, especially if I hear that they have a good one, I'm going to give it a shot. It's usually an easy drinker. Thanksgiving, I think we may have mentioned this last week, you had a cranberry gin and a little Fever Tree, and that cranberry gin was fantastic, perfect for a Thanksgiving cocktail.
It was great. I have it here because we'll possibly be featuring that in something coming up. Koval cranberry, it's a gin liqueur. So it's
gin liqueur.
It's a great little, it's a fun thing to mix with some tonic, but
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I think the Negroni, and for you it's like a Manhattan, or no, gin and tonic would be
gin and tonic or Manhattan, old-fashioned Manhattan gin and tonic if I can have a trio.
If you're gonna splash a little bit of beer in that, what beer would you put?
In my gin and tonic, I may splash a little Saison.
I was thinking that
Maybe do that, maybe a little Berliner.
Oh, that's an interesting
Berliner
idea.
Especially maybe a fruited Berliner, depending on the gin, maybe something citrusy. I would do that.
Yeah. I'd put a Saison in a Negroni just to see how that worked. That would be an interesting beer cocktail.
In fairness, you would drink just about anything, though, at least once.
Yes, that's right. I would try it once. Yeah. Well, Tim, I think we should probably talk about the beers or beer cocktails of the week.
The beers of the week, Brian. Thank you to our friends at The Nest for sponsoring this segment every week. Craft Beer Barbecue in Kennesaw, Georgia. January 1st of the year, they're having their Chefs versus Brewers beer dinner, where they pair courses of food created by the chef and a special beer chosen by the brewer, and you get a vote. So good food, good beer, good time. So check them out if you're in the area. Brian, I'm not even sure what to say. Beers of the week. I mean, there's beers included here.
There are, yeah.
We're going to be doing cocktail-y things, I guess. We've got a Sierra Nevada Celebration, which we're going to do a Boilermaker, Brian, with your Koval Cranberry Gin Liqueur. We're going to do what's called a Snake Bite, where we have a hard cider and a lager that we're going to bring together. We are going to do something called Approximated Sympathy for the Devil. Or is that approximated? Does that mean the recipe is approximated?
Yeah.
The cocktail is Sympathy for the Devil, correct?
Yeah.
And that's Absinthe, Hendrick's Gin, and a Belgian Golden Ale. But we don't have a Belgian Golden Ale. We just have a Golden Ale, correct?
So American Golden Ale.
So we're going to try that out. And then we have a beer inspired by cocktails, Brian, which there's a few of those out there. But we have Founder's Highball Drifter that we're going to get into, and that should be fun. So, well, Brian, that's all the time we got for this segment. We need to take us a break, but we will be right back with more beer cocktails. We'll be right back.
Have you been to the Nest Kennesaw yet? Hi, I'm Adam, owner of the Nest in historic downtown Kennesaw, and I want to personally invite you to visit us. With the best damn barbecue in town, 48 taps of always rotating craft beers, a dog-friendly patio, all in two conjoined historical homes, we know there's something for you at the Nest Kennesaw. Find us at thenestkennesaw.com to start drooling over that menu, or go ahead and grab your friends, your family, or just yourself and come on in for a pint. The Nest Kennesaw, can't wait to have you at our table.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Shake it, mate!
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on the Podcast Park and all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to beer cocktails.
Beer cocktails, Brian, we have a beer cocktail that we have right now that, so you're telling me this is called a snake bite.
Yes.
And I'll be honest that in was Guinness and cider. And I know that's a thing. Do you know what that is called?
You know what? That is a half and half. It has a name. But according to my handy dandy book, which I'm going off of, it's actually cider and lager. And I think it's not typically the ones we selected because we picked, honestly, we went with what we had
what
in the
we
beer
had
fridge.
In the fridge,
yeah.
Right? Right. So we've got
I
a
think
Magners.
Harp usually is in it. Harp and Magners. I think it's Harp and
okay.
Magners.
So we're halfway there.
Yeah,
then.
We're halfway there.
We've
yeah.
got, we're going international with this one. Fusion.
Yes.
Fusion, Brian. We have a Rupee lager. And this was one that these were sent to us as samples by the folks from Rupee.
Yeah.
And they said this was kind of formulated to eat with your spicy curries and such.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But we like the lager. I don't think we ever got a chance to try it with a curry. But so just a nice light drinkable lager and the cider mixed 50-50. Is this a cocktail?
Well, my book says yes.
Your book says yes. Okay. And the book is called Beer Cocktails.
It is in fact called Beer Cocktails. I was thinking about that. That's an issue that I was struggling with there because there's a concept of a cuvee and then there's like half and half beer cocktails. And like cuvee would be, I think, the same style of beer over from different sources or like the source itself, but like different barrel sources or different years or something like that. So it's kind of the same beer typically, I think. And a half and half or a beer cocktail would be just blending two different beers because there's another one in here that is a framboise mixed with a chocolate stout. And that's okay. The entire cocktail. It's 50-50. So,
right.
And they're from different companies. And we've blended stuff like that together on the show. Kind of, I think we've called them cuvées, but I think technically
they're beer cocktails.
That's a cocktail.
That's, I remember when Toppling Goliath was on, we had their strawberry shortcake beer, which is very sweet, very strawberry shortcake forward. And I think we happen to have us a chocolate stout.
I think so.
Time. A very rich stout. And just out of curiosity, poured the two together, and it was stellar. And
boom, beer cocktail.
Yeah, and I don't remember what the stout was, but the two together were really good. So the point being here is when you go beer cocktail, you can start pretty simplistic with it, correct?
Yeah. I mean, some of the easiest ones. This is one of the ones that's really easy. The every St. Patty's Day, people are making effectively beer cocktails when they do the black and tan, the half and half, that sort of thing. And there's, I don't have a list of it with me, but it's basically pouring Guinness over top of a variety of different things. And
get your little spoon so you get your separation right.
Or you get like the little turtle that I have that sits on the top of the pint glass and then pours it over. And some of those are better than the sum of their parts. In fact, a lot of them are, and it's interesting to look at. I like the look of a layered drink. And as far as I know, when it comes to beer, that's the only beer that accomplishes the whole layered look. The Guinness, despite being dark, is considerably lighter than most beers, so it will float on top and stay there.
Yeah.
But drinking the other beer through it does add an interesting character to the overall flavor of the beer. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is tasty. I'm enjoying our lager cider snake bite here. This is good enough.
And the other easy, like super easy thing to do that I fall back on again is the Boilermaker. You pick a shot of something you like and you pair it with a beer that you like. And
okay.
You can do it. You can drink it a couple of different ways, but that's the easiest of all of them probably.
Now a Boilermaker, are you drinking the two separately?
Typically, yes.
That's not a cocktail. I would like to protest. I doth protest. that's a sidecar or whatever they call it.
Yeah, it's
right?
Kind of like a pairing.
A shot and a beer.
Though, and this, the book actually agrees with you. I don't prefer to do it that way, but they recommend that you drop the shot into the beer.
I thought that was a Boilermaker.
Yeah. Well, no, because.
Are you wrong or is the book wrong?
The book has opinions and the book is wrong. Okay. You can go to any bar in, I think, parts of the Midwest, and you will get their options for a Boilermaker, which is a shot and a beer. What you do with the two is up to you. You can drop the shot in, you can pour the shot in, or you can do like I do. You sip the shot and then you sip the beer and then you see how they interact together. Because if you don't like one or the other, you haven't ruined either one.
So I don't remember exactly what it was, but there's a state, is it Minnesota or something, where apparently it's common practice to drop a pickle spear in a lager.
Oh, that's right.
And it was it called like the Midwest Martini or something along those lines?
Sounds about right. I vaguely recall
is
that.
A pickle in a pint of lager, is that a beer cocktail?
Oh, boy. That's kind of a tough one. How much pickle juice? You know what? Some pickle juice.
Just what's ever on the pickle.
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to say
pickle in your beer would be one as well, right?
Now, here's the thing. There are some times where the Boilermaker where you drop it in has to happen for the beer to be right. Some people say it's not right if you don't, like it's better if you do. But if you drop the whole shot in, the idea is you're supposed to slam the entire beverage after. And I'm not a big slammer.
Is that required?
Beers.
I thought it's just about the flavors.
I don't know. I think so. If you're drinking a flaming Dr. Pepper, it will not taste right unless you slam it.
Really?
Yeah, that's.
I don't even know what that is. So.
Do you not know what a flaming Dr. Pepper is?
I've heard of it, Brian. But okay, so Boilermaker, difference of opinions. You have your opinion. Everyone else has another one, and yours is correct. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Everybody who disagrees with me is wrong.
That's fair enough.
I can tell you what a flaming Dr. Pepper is, Tim, if you want to know. I wrote that down.
We'll get that in a second, but let me ask you this. What have been your favorite Boilermakers, Brian?
So I have been a fan of any kind of stout with bourbon is great. Okay. And I do like my wheated bourbons, but any stout with a bourbon I'm a fan of. I've been finding that I very much enjoy drinking the right rum with a hazy IPA, like a good rum, not too strong. I think we've got a few that are like barrel proof, and I think those are a little too strong for it, but the right rum at the right proof with an IPA is actually a really good combination.
Okay. I could see gin and an IPA going well together. I could see gin and a Saison.
Oh, for sure.
Pairing well together. So you're still out there exploring, though, right? I see you posting on social and that with different ones you tried. I think we're going to give one of them a shot here in a little bit.
Yeah, we are. So. And that was just an idea I had. I had leftover cranberry gin liqueur from Thanksgiving. And I was like, well, you know, I had to do something with that. I'm like, I wonder what, that would probably be go good with kind of a West Coast IPA. It's got, I think they would be complementary flavors. And I think I like it.
It worked?
Yeah, okay. I think so. It's not life changing, but I didn't try dumping it in and drinking them together like that. So maybe I'll do that this time. Just I won't drop the whole shot in, but I might dump the actual shot into the beer and drink it that way.
See what happens.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how it goes.
Now, Brian, I know you want to share this, so tell me about the Flaming Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yes, the Flaming Dr. Pepper. So I'm surprised you're not aware of this. This is something
I'm aware of its existence.
Kind of a coming-of-age drink for me back in the day.
Okay.
It's effectively, you take a beer, you've got a beer, you got a shot glass, it's three quarters of an ounce of amaretto and a quarter of an ounce of 151 rum. You light that on fire, you drop that into the 8 ounces of beer, like shot and all, carefully, try not to break anything, and you slam it, and it tastes like a Dr. Pepper, and it will also mess you up fast.
Well, that's because you're chugging liquor, Brian. That's how that works. It's science.
Yeah, it's the speed of the consumption, I'm sure. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. But I like those, and I have memories, fond memories of that. I have memories of getting thrown out of a bar because you've had two of those. You can't have any more. You have to leave.
Two of them is
enough, because it was so popular and it was such a problem for people drinking those that once you had two, they wouldn't serve you anymore. You had to leave.
I think when I was in that young partying stage of that I knew of the, I don't think I've ever tried one. I think it was something that I wasn't big into, like just chugging stuff then. So I brushed it off as I sat around drinking my beers, or, you know, I drank a good amount of tequila in my younger days. So I was too cool, too mature at 21 for that, Brian.
I was a little intimidated by it. I didn't like the idea of, I wasn't sure what I thought of the idea of trying to slam a beer with a bunch of alcohol on fire into my face.
But sounds like fun.
It worked
right?
out. Yeah, it worked out well.
Good stuff. Well, we need to take a break. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show, and we will be right back with more beer cocktails.
It's Brian and Tim, the Beer Guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the Beer Guys sent you.
The heat is on, and if you're looking for a beer to cool you down without slowing you down, Athletic Brewing has you covered with Athletic Light. It's certified organic with only 25 calories and 5 grams of carbs. And since it's non-alcoholic, you stay sharp and avoid the hangover. And you can feel good about the beer you drink and the company that brews it. Athletic Brewing is a certified B Corporation committed to social and environmental excellence. Use code BGR25 at athleticbrewing.com for 25% off your order. Athletic Light, the perfect summer crusher.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What in tarnation?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, Real Talk 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, Florida. Catch Beer Guys Radio and Real Talk 93.3 every Saturday at 5 p.m. Now let's get back into beer cocktails.
Brian, we have another beer cocktail. This is one you were talking about early in the show that you're a fan of, that you just quote unquote created.
I did
recently. It's a Boilermaker. It's a variation of a Boilermaker. And we have a Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Correct.
Which is a fresh hop IPA.
Yep.
Seasonal, about released about a month ago, I guess.
About, yeah.
Yeah. Early November-ish, somewhere in there. And we also have your Koval, which is a cranberry gin liqueur.
Yes.
And I hate this.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Now, I don't like Celebration. It's too bitter for me, so it's just not my thing. I've been for many years now said I'm not West Coast. I don't like the bitterness. So it didn't work for me. I tried it Brian's way, where I drank the beer and took a little sip of the gin. I didn't care for that. So I put the two together and I hated that. So what do you think, Brian? I take it you enjoy it.
It's a festive celebration of West Coast bitterness. Okay. I like it. And I'd not done this before. I had always just had the shot, sipped the shot, and drank the beer. I just threw the shot directly into the beer and actually filled it pretty full up with the beer. So it's a good shot in the beer. I think it's great. It's actually, I think they are more fun together than they are apart. The cranberry is a little bitey. The beer is a little bitey. Together, they come together and softer overall, and it's got some of that fun cranberry bitterness. It's got some of the good IPA bitterness, some fruitiness of it. Tastes festive to me.
And see, I cheated, Brian. We have some Fever Tree Tonic here in the studio, so even though it's the beer cocktail show, since you had your cranberry gin liqueur out, I grabbed some Fever Tree and I got a gin and tonic now, and this makes a really nice gin and tonic.
I knew that was going to end up happening, and this has been a very popular bottle of liqueur. I'm nearly out of it. I've had it for under a month. I got it right before Thanksgiving. It's nearly gone already, which
'tis the season.
Bottles of spirits and liqueurs don't typically move that fast.
Move that quickly. Right.
I'm mostly a beer drinker. So the exception of the Negroni stuff, the ingredients of that, they're moving quickish, but not that quick.
It's a phase, Brian.
I know.
You're going through a phase. But speaking of seasonal and festive and all this stuff, the holidays are coming up. Brian, next week.
Yes.
The Beer Guys Radio Interfaith Holiday Craft Beer Spectacular.
Oh, my God. That's going to be good stuff.
We're going to have our friends from Rainy Day Brewing, our Jewish friends from Rainy Day Brewery, are going to join us for our blind beer tasting. What's this, the fifth or sixth year that we've done this, Brian? We take dozen or so holiday beers. We blind taste and we pick our favorites. There's no rules. It's just what we enjoy. We'll share that with you. New name this year, which we think is awesome. And definitely need to tune in for that. But around the holidays, there are holiday-themed cocktails and beer cocktails and hot beer cocktails, Brian.
That's right.
So there's one in Wassail.
Yeah.
A lot of variations to Wassail.
Correct.
And Wassail can have ale in it. And it mentioned use ale, things like that. There's a variation called Lamb's Wool, which we actually found articles that contradicted each other.
Correct.
On the Lamb's Wool. One said it was mead with the spices and such in it, the spices and fruit. And interestingly enough, they float pieces of toast on a big communal bowl, and you eat the sopped up toast. It sounds like they're getting drunk food before they get drunk. Kind of.
I like this idea of floating a good piece of, like, I think if you found the right toast floating in a mulled beer, like Glue Creek or Wassail or Lamb's Wool or even whatever the mead was, Lamb's Wool being so.
And the Lamb's Wool, yeah. What you saw, Brian, said cider, correct?
Yeah. The source that I've looked at in the past is Wassail is a hot spice cider and Lamb's Wool is a variation on that made with real ale. You okay. said yours said Wassail is made with ale
and or
Lamb's Wool cider. Is mead.
Oh, Lamb's Wool is mead. Okay. That was Wikipedia that
okay.
said that.
So. You know what? I'm going to trust that. I need to update okay. my notes yeah. when I take yeah, a look at that again. Out. You know what? That gets edited all the time. I wonder if somebody changed it and it was wrong before.
Get it checked out.
I suspect my version was wrong. I like the idea of floating toast on something like that. Like okay. could you imagine how good that would be?
It'd
be
I great. Can't. No, it does not sound good at all. Well, I want to. I'm curious though. I would try it.
I would want to use a ladle instead of the communal pot where you grab it by the handles.
Look, I've been to Trader Vic with you, and you don't have a problem with a communal drink.
Well, that's true. I mean, it has a long straw, it though.
Does.
So
maybe the Wassail bowl does. Yeah. No, they were talking about all these handles. I want to know how a group of people each has a handle and communally drinks from a bowl. I really need to know this.
I guess everybody's holding on to it. They just tilt it towards the person that wants to drink. Yeah.
But in addition to that, there's one called Flip. And Brian, do you know what Flip is? It's a pretty simple one, isn't it?
It's yes and no. I don't recall off the top of my head.
I won't put you on the spot there, Brian, but there's also, for those that have been listening to the show, one of our favorite toys right now is the beer caramelizer, the metal rod that we heat up and ram down into our beer. They had a cocktail they call a Brown Betty, they just said English ale. It looked like maybe they had an English mild there, brown sugar, lemon juice, some spices. You kind of let the sugar dissolve in there, pour it all together, and then ram the caramelizer, the hot rod, down in there to give it a little caramelization.
You know, the interesting thing is this book of beer cocktails does have a colonial flip in it. I was just scanning it while you were talking, and it did talk about they heated it up using a hot poker from the fireplace.
Yeah.
And the one that's in here, the recipe is barley wine, unsulfured molasses, 2 tablespoons of canned pumpkin puree, believe it or not, crazy, 2 ounces of dark rum and cinnamon sticks. So that's apparently a flip.
That's intense, man. That's
and they use a fire poker
for that.
Keep you
warm through the nights, even without the fire poker.
Yeah, that's keep you warm. Pumpkin puree. So I did not realize. So a flip and possibly involves pumpkin.
I want to experiment more. And, you know, we're supposed to be in the cold months, but here in Atlanta, we were 70 degrees today. So I need some cold weather so I can do cold weather things.
Yeah.
Fire pits and cocktails and all of that.
It was overcast and rainy the entire time. So that's about as close as Atlanta gets most of the time to actual cold weather.
It's looked wintry here. It just hasn't felt it. But there's a lot of variation there. Those are just a few of the hot cocktails. And, you know, we can basically, you can get creative. Do you know, take something out. The beer caramelizer, we've tried it on a variety of styles of beers. So if you've got a hot metal rod and a fire, be safe. Don't burn yourself because you're drinking. But take whatever you got and check it out. Ram a metal rod down in there.
I was a big fan the time that I used that on a an oatmeal stout. It enhanced the creaminess. It was an older, I mentioned this before, but it was an older beer, so it was some oxidation. It drove off some of the oxidation, brought out some sherry notes, but just in general, it enhanced the creaminess of the oatmeal itself. And it was a coffee oatmeal stout, so it brought out some nice roasty coffee flavors as well. So it's a really fun beer, and it reminds me, it's like a version of roaring a beer that we've talked about over the years.
Into the hot pan and just get it roared up and get that foamy head on there.
Yeah, which is apparently something they did with older farmhouse ales in Scandinavian countries, I think, you know, they'd been around for a while. You give it a blast in a hot pan, pour it back in, and it revived the beer, though I was never sure of exactly what it was doing to revive it.
Would a Glue Creek be a beer cocktail?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're adding fruit, spices, warming it up. So there's another one. We've done that a few times. It's been really good.
And some people add brandy to those things.
I thought they added
a few of them. So it depends on what you're doing. When I've done it in the past, I think I've used some fruit juice and some honey, like a possibly an apple juice. But there are varying ingredients you can put in there, like basically mulling spices or, you know, cut up some apples or just cut up some oranges or both, put it in there, just heat it up. It's a great beverage.
And you can go out and get all these spices on your own, but a lot of times this time of year, your big box store or whatever will have just mulling spices.
Sure.
It'll have everything there. So you can shortcut it. Get you a bottle of Creek.
Yeah.
Put it in there, maybe some honey. If you want a little more sweetness to it, little honey, add your spices, maybe some slices of orange in there.
Yeah,
bring it in. Throw you a shot of brandy. I mean, it's the holidays. Go ahead and kick it up a notch and just, you know, heat that easily, warm it up, and try it out. We've had it. We're fans. We think you should give it a shot.
Indeed.
You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio. We need to take one more break here, but we will be back very soon with more beer cocktails.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's a perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now let's get back to beer cocktails and cocktails inspired by beer and beer inspired by cocktails.
Beer cocktails and cocktail beers, right?
Yes,
right?
That's it.
What? I just realized something, Brian. Due to unforeseen circumstances, I believe this is the first time this show has ever been just you and I.
Has it never been just you and I before?
January will be, y'all wish us a happy birthday. January will be 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
For Beer Guys Radio. But I think this is the first time you and I have just sat down and had a good old conversation, Brian, about alcohol. Well, at least on the air.
Just alone on the air?
Just alone.
Just the two of us.
So alone. Brian, we've been talking about beer cocktails today. We are currently drinking a cocktail beer. This one from Founders Brewing Company, the Highball Drifter. Now, I thought that this name was a lean to the Highball cocktail, which I knew of its existence, but really didn't know what it was. And we looked it up, and it's just whiskey and ginger ale.
Yeah,
it is a highball.
It's like, was it one or part
club
whiskey?
Soda, right?
Yeah, one part whiskey and two parts ginger ale or club soda. Right. And you could do it with any spirit, apparently. I knew about highballs and always thought of them as the glass. I didn't realize it was a retro the cocktail that I thought it was just like a whiskey soda.
The highball glass.
I didn't realize that was a highball. But now I want to try that.
But the Highball Drifter, per the description on the founder's website, they mentioned call us old fashioned. So this is probably an old fashioned inspired cocktail.
Pretty sure. Beer. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I believe so.
It's nice.
It's very really nice.
I mean, very good malt notes to it. A lot of vanilla coming out of it. A little citrus, a little cherry, you know, a little fruitiness. But this is a nice beer.
Kind of caramely to me. I have had a fair number of things. And following the Boilermaker with the cranberry, I think it may be muting some of like the more cherry tones that I might get. But it's really enjoyable. Very warming.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Brian, you know, I thought back to the first part of the show here. When we were talking about kind of our go-to and our favorite cocktails, and I don't think it's my go-to, but it's a favorite. I dig the Michelada, Brian.
Oh,
the Michelada.
So. You do. And we've frequently wound up drinking them in studio in like when we're not recording.
Absolutely. Just hanging out, having that. And you know, we went to a couple of years ago, we went to Terrapin Wake and Bake Off. And it was kind of a brunch timed event. And they had a nice open bar for us there with several different beers, but they had also a Michelada bar. You know, get you your beer, and then they've got all the dressings just like they would for Bloody Marys. I really, and back in the day, my parents used to drink what they just called a tomato beer, and my dad would have them with probably a Budweiser or something like, probably a Bud Heavy, something along those lines, and just tomato juice with a little salt and pepper. If they were feeling crazy, they'd break out the V8 juice.
Oh, the V8.
And a stalk of celery.
I was going to say, is Tabasco figure in this? Because no, I'd almost immediately put a Tabasco splash in there.
With them, it was like half beer, half V8 juice, salt, pepper, and a celery stick in there. And that was it.
Have you ever put green Tabasco in your Michelada? Because I wonder if that would be good.
I have not.
I'm a big fan of the green Tabasco.
I can see that being enjoyable, Brian. But, you know, there's recipes out there where you can concoct your own Michelada. I'll just get Bloody Mary mix. I'll go, you know, low budget with it. Just get a beer and some pre-mixed Bloody Mary mix. There's some good ones out there. So I like, what is it? Mr. and Mrs. T's.
I think that's the classic one.
There's, is it Zibzab or something? Something. Yeah. Zigzag.
Yeah. They're the little pre-canned, like little 8-ounce ones.
I dig them. And especially, taco joint here in Atlanta, tacos, El Rey del Taco.
El Rey del Taco.
Go there, get you a plate of tacos and a big like quart mug of their house Michelada. You're good to go.
That sounds great. Do you know where the Michelada, because I did a little research on this for, because I knew we'd wind up talking about it. You know where it came from?
So it's Mexico, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You tricked me there because I was thinking this has to be Mexico, but then I thought, is it something that was invented in America as a Mexican thing? But I'm like, no, I know that's kind of a classic Mexican drink.
Well, the thing is you can't be 100% sure. And I think that there are differing stories on the two. I looked into an article and I saw that they had two different versions of the story. I saw another thing that listed it is being created 20 years earlier than that, also in Mexico. All of them seem to point towards Mexico.
Okay.
Probably not something that was a creation in the U.S. Probably not. So
fair enough.
The two that I saw that were really interesting is a woman named Michelle Esper liked to order her beer with lime, salt, and ice and a straw at Club Deportivo Sinaloa in the 1960s. And over time, because she was doing that, it became popular. And I think that Michelle's Helada.
Michelada.
Yeah, it became, because Helada is, I think it's a beer. So Michelle Helada is Helada beer.
I thought that was
Well, and here's that leads me to the other story, that it's simply a portmanteau of Michelada Helada, which is my ice cold beer. So it could be either one of those things. So the Helada, I believe, is the beer part. Is it Chelada? Helada?
Cerveza is beer in Espanol, correct?
Yeah, but according
to... You're just telling straight lies today, aren't you?
Well, no, I was possibly lied to. Cerveza is right. I'm curious. Chela Helada. I'm not...
We will research this further, we'll get back with you.
So the portmanteau part might be bogus.
Okay.
But I like the idea...
It's a good story.
I like the idea of somebody named Michelle saying, hey, I want my beer with lime, salt, and ice, and I want a straw in it. And people are like, I want what she's having.
I want a Drake meme that shows like just a pint of beer with ice and a straw in it, and he's looking away. And then the other one is the same thing, but with tomato juice and spices in it. And he's all about.
Oh, so yeah, the Drake meme. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I iced beer. No way, but mix it up. I'm in.
So I like the idea. I like the, what this kind of goes into my question about when is the right time to drink a Michelada. And I think I know what your answer will probably be, but I think I would like the place that does the Michelada bar to later on have a choose your own adventure gin and tonic bar where you can pick your gins and your tonics and your ingredients. I know of a place around here that does that.
Okay.
It's awesome. Love it.
All right. You think there's a natural transition from a Michelada to a gin and tonic?
Yeah. I feel like Michelada is like an afternoon, an early day to afternoon. Like that's possibly, I could drink that pre-noon. And I'm not one that people might not believe this. I don't typically drink before noon.
You're not a day drinker.
I'm not okay. An early day drinker. Afternoon, if I'm going to have one, the Michelada I'm open to, but I get later in the day, it's cocktails and beer. So I think there's a transition. 2-3 o'clock, I'm going from anything tomato juice into stuff with gin.
I am going to say that I mostly agree with you, but the exception that if I'm having Mexican food for dinner, I'm still okay with the Michelada to go with that.
In the evening, yeah, possibly. I'm maybe still a big probably old margarita.
Plate
though.
Of birria tacos.
Yeah. I still might go margarita. Or another thing that's technically a beer cocktail is that the Corona Rita, where they put the Corona inside the margarita. So it's basically they've made a margarita. Now they've added Corona to it.
They've even gone so far with that. They got a little plastic contraption that holds the beer at like a 45 degree angle.
Yes. Just
dripping into your margarita.
Did they make the small sizes of Corona just for that drink?
I don't think so. I think they were around before. Coronitas.
Yeah. The little ones, because I don't know. Yeah. It being a really light beer that's generally served very cold, I don't know why you would need it a small size. You just slam that, right? So
you would.
I figured that must be kind of for the Corona Ritas. You know,
Could be. There's so much you can do with beer and cocktails and beer cocktails.
Correct. Correct.
And you know, in the category, Brian, something that we may have not thought about, but like the fruited Berliner, technically kind of started as a beer cocktail, right? A Berliner in Germany, Mitschuss, however you say it in German. But a Berliner with a shot of a fruit syrup in it.
Yeah, before we took off with all the fruited sours, the cocktails and whatnot, honestly, it was a Berliner. And if you would add, it would become a beer cocktail because you would add a syrup to it. So they had Waldmeister, which is Woodruff syrup. And there's other stuff that you could add to it. I think cherry was as a popular one. And
peach, orange, peach, lemon, yeah, just anything. Radler.
Yeah.
Radler is
and you get the Radler. Yeah. It's something that actually that came from Bavaria hundreds of years ago, and it became very popular the early 20th century.
The Shandy, the Radler for the Berliners. And Brian, we're about out of time, but when you were in Belgium, you found out that over there, the Mitschuss Berliners is a kid's drink.
It's really funny. A bunch of us sat down and it was just taking off here. I was a beer geek. I'm like, I want a Mitschuss. I want a Berliner Mitschuss. I want a Waldmeister. And we drove them nuts because it was a Kinder drink. It was for children.
Kinder surprise.
They thought we were a bunch of idiots, but we loved them.
They were right.
Yeah.
Brian, good show. Good times. Beer cocktails. That about wraps it up for this week. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Goes Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Make sure to tune in next week for the Beer Guys Radio Interfaith Holiday Craft Beer Spectacular. Yeah. It's going to be a good time. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.